Hey, everybody, it's Non-Productive, and we're here to do a podcast for you, our listeners. Hey,
we're really happy and excited.
So many hand movements in this podcast. It's ridiculous. We're not Muppets. Anyways, I'm Frank. I'm joined in studio, as always, by Pete, James, and Michelle.
Hi, Frank.
And we're talking about bingeable stuff, things we're watching or consuming, and that we really are super excited about. We can't wait to tell other people, other human beings.
For the record, I'm 1/8 Muppet on my father's side.
Oh, good. Good to know. This may be the first time I've been out of my house in a week. I may be watching too much stuff on television.
I think you are.
Yeah, but I'm glad to speak to other humans.
We all
have
problems,
virtual humans who are out there on the internet.
Mostly humans.
Yeah, mostly humans.
7/8 human.
Speaking of 7/8 human, this is something we teased a couple of weeks ago, and it's really old. Ted Bundy tapes. I finally got a chance to watch the whole thing. Michelle, have you watched the whole thing?
I watched the first two episodes, and then I said, why am I watching something about a serial killer?
Yes! Why? Oh, my God. Why are we... So, my significant other... wants to. I don't know why I was bragging on that. For no, there was no reason. It was a
that was a brag.
There was a little
brag?
Bit of a brag in that.
She is worthy of bragging.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
she's
you.
Great.
But she is really not that great, because what she's really interested in is watching horrible, horrible, horrible serial killer stuff and worse, and just making me watch it along with her. And like, it's late at night, and then she's like, oh no, hold me. I'm like, I don't want to hold you. This is creepy. This man,
you
made
hold
love
me.
To cool. Yeah, so, yes. So Ted Bundy is a disgusting human being. I completely missed the entire thing where everybody on the internet was talking about how handsome he was. That was a thing for a while.
He isn't, though.
He is not.
So.
He is.
I mean, he's no John Wayne Gacy.
I don't even want to explore that with you, Pete. But no. So I have finished watching the entire thing. I don't get the obsession with true crime stuff on Netflix and other places.
I think I understand it up to a point, right? So I like the serials.
I like some of it. Yeah.
The Making of Murderers.
Absolutely.
The Keepers.
Yeah, when there's a possibility.
Really
good.
Anything really about good. The Fire Festival?
That was hilarious. I finally watched that.
Yeah.
Good. I think, though, where there's a possibility that this person might be, you know, might be innocent, or even that it teaches us something about our system of law or something like that.
But I can see that.
Like, with the, I skipped on the Ted Bundy tapes because I'm like, I feel like I know the story of Ted Bundy. He was an awful person, an abuser who lured in and murdered women.
Yeah.
You know, and lured in is a strong word. I mean, he, you know, would just go around and hit women on the back of the head and drag them off. You know, like, he's just, from what
spoiler
I...
Spoiler alert. so I don't understand...
Or as cavemen called it, courtship.
Oh, God. So I don't really understand, no.
What?
That's offensive to cavemen. I don't know how I'm going to go...
Yeah, some cavemen may not have been like that.
Probably.
Not all cavemen.
Not all cavemen.
Wow, you both three stooges through that doorway at the same time, and it wasn't worth it. Was it really worth it?
No, wasn't.
It was not worth it. So, yeah, Ted Bundy tape is fine. It is what it is. It was a product of its time, as in 2 months ago when that was made. But what's the rage now, and this is going to be, we should make this clear at the beginning, this is spoiler free. We're trying to get people to absorb whatever the thing we're watching, to go out and watch it too, so that eventually we can find our listeners and yell at them in passionate, saying, you saw it too, it's amazing. So we're not going to actually spoil anything. So I just recently started watching Russian Doll on Netflix. Have you folks seen that?
I have not, but it keeps telling me I should watch it. Because it has that girl from Orange is the New Black in it, right?
Is that where she's from?
Yeah.
Oh, all right,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, Nikki.
Oh, okay,
Nichols.
Cool. So I just watched it because, again, Netflix demanded I do it, and I do what Netflix tells me to do.
Obey.
So, yeah, it's 8 episodes long. It is, I don't think this is a spoiler, it's effectively a Groundhog's Day scenario, where she's reliving a same day over and over again, dying and coming back and dying and coming back, more or less. It's not exactly that, but it's close enough. It takes a while. It's a slow burn. I think it takes like 3 or 4 episodes before you're like, oh, this actually has some interesting things to say. And it really does. And hey, guess what, non-pro listening audience? Some of the comedians from the non-pro comedy show actually make guest appearances throughout the show, because it's set in the New York... how do I put this?
Metropolitan area.
I was saying more like the New York like douchebag scene. Like they're all just gross.
They're trying to be nice.
Oh yeah, I'm not. No. They're gross people, and a lot of the comics from our live show are of course gross people and hilarious people, and they did some of the writing.
Particularly the host, John Minus.
Oh God, he's the worst. And the they did some of the writing on the episode on the series as well. I recommend it. It certainly, if you are a New Yorkophile, and if you're like, I guess, a millennial in New York, and you've lived in tiny, crappy apartments in Brooklyn, you'd probably appreciate and also roll your eyes heavily at the luxurious apartments that they have in this series. But it's cerebral and interesting. It's like a different take, a 21st century take on Groundhog's Day is a not inappropriate way of referring to it. Like the whole thing, it's in many ways, it's living the same day over and over and over again, but it examines how we, in the way many of us in society can feel like we are in a rut. And whether or not there's any way to break out of that rut, and whether it's all internalized, how we feel like we're living the same day over and over again, how nothing, none of our choices matter, or how we feel anchored into the past. That's really cool. It's very nice to see these stories have multiple meanings depending on how much, you know, effort you put into it. So I recommend. Go watch that. Anybody else have anything that they want to talk about?
Something that's maybe a little less gruesome, but still like frustratingly like yell at the screen, is a documentary back from 2012 that I think is still on Netflix. It's where I watched it a while ago, called The Imposter. It's about a kid or a guy from Spain who actually claims to be the missing 16-year-old kid from this family down in Texas. And it is absolutely fascinating and absolutely infuriating. At the same time, like really just incredible to watch. It's about an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes, but it might honestly be one of the creepiest things I've ever seen in real life. And it's not like, as far as creepy goes, it's not actually like all things said and done. Nobody really gets hurt or nothing bad really happens, but it's just so weird. You know, like, I don't want to spoil it, but it's so weird. And I did so much screaming at the television, like, how can you not see this?
Did you, after you watch it, like, look up everything about these people to see if there was something missing that you were, is that one of those deals?
Yeah, so, I mean, I definitely looked up to see, like, kind of, like, what the deal was with the kid and how he went missing and kind of, like, the mystery behind that. And there's a whole lot of theories about what happened there, and those get kind of dark and gruesome. But, you know, nothing substantial. Nothing ever really came from that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Nice. I had a similar feel the first time I watched Catfish, believe it or not. When I first saw the movie Catfish, I had no idea what it was about. And it's very, like, creepy, even if nothing... Obviously, by now, most people know what Catfish is because of the MTV show and what have you. But at the time, it was like, is this a serial killer? Is this like a found footage documentary horror movie? What the hell are we watching? And it was very unsettling throughout. And then eventually it became an MTV show and far less unsettling, but more pathetic. All right, cool. Thank you for the recommendation. What was that called again?
Called The Imposter.
The Imposter.
I think I've seen that or parts of it.
Yeah, I'm trying not to spoil it because it is fascinating to watch.
I feel like they've used like clips of that in psychology classes or something.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's probably
it
where I've
very
seen it.
Relevant.
If I can kind of swerve us off into a different, more wholesome, I guess, more uplifting direction.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually just recently, and I know I'm very hashtag late to the party mm-hmm. on this, but I've just started totally binging Steven Universe.
Ooh.
Really?
Ooh, everybody got excited on that one.
I wake up to the soundtrack every morning.
And I've been waiting to watch it. So.
I can't get the soundtrack out of my head. I like the original
version. How far
version.
Into the series are
I'm,
you?
I'm right now about halfway through the fourth season,
okay.
I think.
Okay, all right. I'm behind. I haven't watched in probably like three seasons.
I started watching last Friday.
Oh, wow.
But the episodes are short.
Huh? Yes, they're about 11 to 12 minute episodes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kind of like Adventure Time, that same format where you squeeze two short cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
It is a cartoon, for those of you who don't know.
Oh,
I've only just said the title.
Right.
you squeeze two of those into a half an hour block. And I have to warn you, if you do want to start watching this, it is extremely easy to get lost in it.
Wow.
And just keep watching it over and over and over again. It's on Hulu right now.
Yeah.
And Hulu does all that work for you. You don't have to push a button to go on to the next one.
That's the good quality binging that you want.
This is very bingeable. And it's the story of a little fat kid. No.
He's so cute.
He's a cute chubby.
He's such a cute kid.
He's drawn chubby, but it's got nothing to do with... Yes. His name's Steven Universe. Like the show.
Yeah.
Who has a gem in his belly button. And he's... He's being raised by three superhero women.
No, they are non-gendered space rocks.
Okay. They appear to be women.
Female-presented space rocks.
Yes. I'm going to have a very hard time talking about it because it does very... I don't know how to put this.
It's very much inclusive to the LGBTQ community.
Yes.
And it's very popular in the community.
Yes. And it's it's low key about how it deals with these things, but it's also very in your face about it.
Yeah.
It's like all of these themes are right there, but they're not treated like they're a big deal. It's very much depicting a world where everyone is pretty accepting of people of all genders.
Rock and
orientations.
Color.
Orientations. Yeah. Yeah, rock color.
If you're an onion.
Mm-hmm. It's really amazing. And it does a lot about... It does get into a lot of themes about finding your own identity and being comfortable with who you are.
So I watched this show when it first came out and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, it triggered something of the cartoons I watched as a kid with my sisters, if that makes sense. Because there's definitely, it's playing at a particular level. It's aiming for like a little bit of nostalgia, but like it's on the cutting edge.
Yes.
So a lot of these characters are like what you would normally have seen in the 80s as the quote, putting quotes on this, female superheroes in those kind, like in the Rainbow Bright model or in like the She-Ra model. There's like there's a kind of a fantastic, but like really cool element to it. So for me, there was a certain amount of cartoons I used to watch as a kid that although some of the jerks on the playground would have said, that's a girl show. I was like, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's absolutely awesome. That's how it started off. And then it, like you said, I think it does get gradually more and more like it blurs those lines of why are you even thinking of this as a girl show at any point? I stopped watching like after the first or second season just because of like I got busy. But everyone is crazy about this show.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pleasantly surprised to hear you like it.
I don't think I'm the only one out there that hasn't. Like I knew about it a couple of years ago, but I never really watched it.
I've still been meaning to pick up Steven Universe. It's something that I continue being like, oh, I gotta watch that, and I just haven't gotten around to it, even though it seems awesome. Whatever I catch an offhand episode when I'm flipping through channels, it's always amazing. So I really gotta commit to the whole thing front to back.
Yeah, speaking as somebody who this flew under the radar for. And who heard about how good it was, but still put off watching it, I can't recommend it enough.
Hooray. Yes.
It's excellent. Really good.
Good suggestion. And something for me to watch once I'm done catching up with Adventure Time, which I also loved and fell off the wagon for.
Same here. I got to do that, too.
Oh, man. I'm just caught up to a major plot point in that series. Oh, great. All right. Michelle.
If we're going to stick with animated stuff right now, I've been going through Little Witch Academia on Netflix, which is also very, I guess, cutesy feminine in the way that like Steven Universe is, but it deals with a lot of real life issues. I think maybe like a quarter of the way through the second season where the plot is actually starting to develop a lot right now. But basically the premise is this young girl decides, I want to go to witch school, but I'm not a witch. And she gets to go in because the academy is kind of hurting for money. So it's like, oh, they're letting a commoner in, where she kind of is facing a lot of issues with that, but overcoming them. And that's all I'm going to say for now.
How? But is it like a one season thing or how?
No, so far it's a little bit ways through season two. I don't know if it's expected that there's going to be a season three, but where I am right now, I can kind of sense like it could end. Like the plot is getting there where it's like, oh, okay, like we're solving the things. It hasn't really hit that big climax thing yet, but I don't know if they're renewing it for a third, but it is Netflix show.
It's an anime, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
It's not like the stereotypical anime, though. It's still anime, but I don't know.
What are we stereotyping as anime, Michelle?
Please anime fight. Is very please broad. Fight about this. 100% please fight
I said
about
it's an animated cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
no,
an anime.
I've heard really good things about it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I've been looking for a bridge cartoon for a while, specifically a bridge anime for a while. I don't know if this is quite it, but like the thing you can watch with someone who's like, I don't want to watch cartoons, and they'll be like, oh, this is pretty good. So if you out there in listener land or any of my esteemed co-hosts can think of something like that, something that is, you know, good despite what it seems like to a person who's got a chip on their shoulder, I would like to see that.
I have a suggestion.
Oh.
Have you watched Gravity Falls?
I love Gravity Falls.
Gravity Falls is great. Yeah, okay.
Gravity Falls might work. Well, to be clear, I think that would work.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that works pretty well. And it's weird enough where it's like, it still feels like, I'll be honest, I love Bob's Burgers and I love, you know, a lot of the adult aimed cartoons on Fox. Sure, why not? But I feel like this is low hanging fruit. That's not quite the same thing. If I could get someone, the person I'm thinking about, to watch Gravity Falls and enjoy it, that would be a win.
I also try, a recommendation would also be like animated movies, but like non-Disney, right? So by picking either some Miyazaki films some other off the beaten path animated films, right? There's, for some reason, I feel like there's a little bit of an easier acceptance of a movie than there is about like cartoons are for kids, but an animated film still has that, you know, that gravitas to it.
There's gravitas to Vampire Hunter D.
Not exactly what I meant, but the point still stands.
I also feel like you got a production value change there too. You've got somebody making a feature film versus a cartoon, a televised cartoon, which may have been made for let's get as many episodes out as possible. So, all right. Anybody else have any major recommendations? Oh, look, James has got his hand up. James, what do you got?
So,
what cartoon have you watched?
Well, I read a book.
What?
Read's a strong word. So, I did an audiobook because that's the only thing I have time for.
Mm-hmm.
But a friend of mine had been pushing me to read this for a little bit. And not that I was hesitant, but I haven't done an audiobook in a little while. I've been taking an audiobook break, I guess. So I picked up An Absolutely Remarkable Thing by Hank Green.
What's it called? Pete and I did the same thing.
I hate you both.
Stooges through the door.
Yeah. Was it worth it?
Nope.
So you guys might know Hank Green from his many science shows on YouTube, or he's one of the Vlog Brothers or starters of VidCon. You probably also know his brother John Green, who writes a lot of young teen novels.
Young adult.
Thank you. That's the word.
I am a young adult, and I still read John Green books.
I'm not a huge John Green fan, but I still read tons of young adult fiction.
Well, I have most of his books. If you ever want to borrow them,
okay.
So.
You're going to have to read it into a tape for him because he doesn't have time.
I'll just leave him a voicemail 10 minutes every day.
I mean, that
is a great service that Michelle provides all our listeners.
I charge $100 per file.
Yeah. Darn, I was getting
back
really
our Patreon and you will get, oh my God, can we have an entry level?
Yeah.
Yes, that's it. We're going to do it. One particular level that's back us at the $100 level and you will read a chapter or 10 seconds. 10
no,
minutes?
10 minutes. I said 10 minutes. Minutes.
Yeah, there we go. Let's do that.
So, An Absolutely Remarkable Thing is a book about this girl, April May, who runs into...
Oh, I'm out.
What?
Why?
Her name is April May?
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
Is her friend June July?
No. No one's named June July.
That's the sequel.
I read like maybe 50 pages of the book. I've had it for a while and I just haven't picked it up again. I didn't even realize April May.
Yeah.
All right. It's like the month.
Remember, $100 Patreon.
You like
and
that?
She will read.
I will
any
read
book?
This book too.
Oh, this book.
I'll read this book.
Will it be any book, or does it have?
No, I have to have it.
All right, fine.
You should back this book. So It was amazing. I don't think I have related to a fictional character in a story like I have related to April May in a long time.
All right.
So the book basically is about April May finding a what she believes is a piece of street art, right? That's kind of like this robot that looks like a giant transformer. And then she makes like a fun viral video with her friends. And the next day, there's apparently one of these things in every major city across the world. And it just evolves from there. And it's amazing. Because
very cool. That's very interesting.
The book isn't really just a dissection of science fiction and about the life we live today, but about how we handle media. Right. So it's a book that really at its core handles a lot about how we currently intake and ingest media and social media and all that sort of stuff that, you know, the Green Brothers are very involved in because of starting VidCon and all that sort of stuff. So it's really a book that, you know, that Hank would be like very poised to write in a way that like maybe somebody else couldn't write quite like this. And it really was incredible. I loved it. I got through it like in no time flat, and I'm left wanting more. So it's definitely great. I really recommend everybody read it. It's fantastic. You know, and bonus, the audiobook is wonderfully read, and then there's even a specific chapter read by Hank himself, which is cool.
Ooh.
Who does read it, out of curiosity? Who's the voice?
Someone.
Because it is available through your local library.
Yeah, right. It's Kristen Shea?
Shy? Which is actually okay. Michelle's pen name. So it was read to you by Michelle. So you owe our Patreon at least $100. Get on it. Yeah, that's really cool.
Actually, probably more than 100 because that's definitely more than 10 minutes.
No, you're right. Yeah.
10 okay. times probably James, like 200. Hey, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we talked about it a little bit that some people have been watching this, some haven't, but the Umbrella Academy just recently came up on Netflix. I think, what was it, like 2 weeks ago? And I am not proud to say that I finished the series very, very quickly. I did not finish it as quickly as my one friend who ignored all of us for 10 hours straight on one day when we were supposed to hang out so she could watch all of them. I think it was like maybe 2 days, 3 days that I watched all of it. It's 10 episodes. It is based on the comic series by Gerald Way, who, if you are not aware of, is the guy from My Chemical Romance. And there have been a lot of memes going on where it's like, he did not save us from the broken and blah, 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 to be known as the guy that wrote the Umbrella Academies.
All right.
Anyone else see that meme?
No,
funny?
I did not.
It's very, I don't know. It's a weird concept, the whole the show. It's basically like a group of siblings that are all superheroes, except for one of them. And it's always thought that there's just six of them, but there's actually seven because the one is kind of like excluded because she's not special. But they were all born on the same day. And it was like this big, like unexplained phenomena where I think it was like 40 some women. It's like suddenly we're just pregnant. And the first episode in the first scene is like, hey, look, like this girl's fine. And now she's giving birth. Like what? Which to me, I'm just kind of like, ooh, that's freaky.
It's a little bit of body horror.
You didn't really see anything though, but it's just in your head, like the idea of it's like, well, you know, at least you didn't deal with morning sickness.
Yeah,
first couple
it's
months.
It's good to fast forward.
You know,
to a
fast
bit.
Forward, but it's like, yeah.
Did any of you have any of you read?
I have not. So no, that's I want to now because I feel like I'm lacking information. Because I was sitting here for a while thinking like, are they going to explain that thing that just happened? And because it's a series adapted from a graphic novel, they're probably not because they don't have the time to.
Yeah, I totally, I'll be honest. When I first heard of that comic book, I was like, I'm not interested in this. Because for like the longest time, comic books that were written like by outsiders or whatever, like oftentimes it was just like a commercial. Like you'll see somebody write a comic book for their band and it's like, this is just weird concept art for your album. It's not really a comic book, and that's what I mistook this for, but apparently it's amazing.
No, so I read Umbrella Academy, and probably one of the reasons why I haven't dove right into the series yet is because I've been a little wary. I think I really enjoyed...
Really? Oh.
Well, no, I hear the adaption's really good. I really enjoyed Umbrella Academy, but I think it came out in 2007?
The book?
Yeah.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was like around the time I was starting college, and... it feels like something that, as a piece of media, would feel a little dated. So I'm hoping that the Netflix series kind of updates a few of the concepts to make it fit a little better with kind of
totally
today.
Yeah.
But when it came on the comic scene, it felt super fresh and quirky and interesting and very different from anything else I was reading at
certainly
the time.
None of the Sonic books you've been reading at that time. Tune into Near Mint on any James special appearance.
I have been barred from talking about Sonic, even though I would love to.
It's a little much. You've read Umbrella Academy and you chose to talk about Sonic the Hedgehog for like 10 episodes straight on Near Mint.
I've also read Why the Last Man and Saga.
None of
and
it. Never
Walking
brings it up.
Dead
Always brings up Sonic the Hedgehog. I don't even hate Sonic the Hedgehog. It's just that it's all you ever. All right. I'm okay. I'm handling this.
Calm right. down, Frank.
Yeah. So do we have anything else?
I was just going to say, like, I think they kind of update things a little bit to make it fit into current day, but they keep that. Like, once you start watching the show, you'll see there's a bit with, like, time going on with it. Mm. They still keep that. I want to say, like, authentic, I guess, if that makes sense. So, but then I was also thinking about how a lot of people are like, oh, why is this guy, you were just saying, like, this outsider, he's going to come and write, like, a comic series? Like, who does he think he is? But I was just thinking that it happens sometimes with, like, rock bands and stuff, just like with Coheed and how the main guy has his comic series, and it's been marginally successful from what I'm aware of.
Yeah, I totally didn't have any grounds to
saying you are, but I know, like, a lot of times if you're an outsider from a community, people are like, what, like, no.
And the fact that people are still, like, kind of raising their eyebrow to it now, but yeah, this thing was not the what was it that we got once, Pete? We got the Craftsman comic book where tools made their own comic book with the guy who's like a handyman who, like, saves the Justice League because they get locked out of the Justice League, and he's like, I get that door.
I gotta call a locksmith.
Yes, it was like locksmith and or something like that. It was ridiculous.
My favorite of that was the shockingly long running NFL Super Pro by Marvel.
Yes, NFL Super Pro. Why is this still a thing? All right, so yeah, that's pretty cool.
I've got one more thing. So I've been binging as fast as I can anyway.
The this new kind Sonic of... series.
Yes. No.
I swear I will cut the mics.
No, I've been binging a series of games that also has, like, some companion material with it called Danganronpa.
Of course.
So it's a weird...
I like how James is questioning.
It is a...
Danganronpa?
A school-based Japanese anime.
Oh, Japanese.
Visual novel-esque game.
Oh, all right, cool.
I was assuming this
was
Dutch.
It is very much up my alley.
It's about a bunch of children, high schoolers.
Teenagers.
And you have to catch them all.
Well, and they get locked in a high school, and they're told that the only way they can get out is by murdering each other.
And not getting caught. I've heard about this.
So,
and there's an evil little teddy bear that runs it all.
So it devolves into, like, a Phoenix Wright kind of style game where with that persona social element. So you get to know all the characters and you form friendships and relationships with them. And then somebody dies, and then your character has to kind of investigate what happened. And then there's a trial to see. To see
murder
who
mystery.
Did it. Yeah, a murder mystery.
That's awesome. I like this a lot.
So when I decided I was going to do this, you know, I'm a completionist. So I was like, okay, cool. A friend of mine handed me a disc that was games 1 and 2. And I'm like, okay. And then I finished game 2. And then I'm like, well, that's weird. That ends on a cliffhanger. She's like, well, there's 2 companion animes you have to do. And there's a PSP game that goes with it.
There's a PSP game?
By yes. Friend.
Oh, crap.
Are you air quoting that, friend? Is Sarah just a terrible person?
Sarah Winters is not a terrible person.
Yeah. She's glorious.
I don't know about that.
So then I did the
if
2
If you know
animes.
If Sarah Winters is a terrible person, please drop us a line. Nonproductive @gmail.com.
Just donate $1 to the Patreon.
Donate $1 to the Patreon if you think Sarah Winters is a terrible person. Donate $2 if you think she is
not a terrible
a mensch.
Person.
What's a female Let's, mensch? Yeah.
What?
I think it's a she-mensch.
Schmensch.
Schmensch?
Schmensch.
That's
Schmensch.
Probably offensive. That's got to be offensive.
So, yeah, I'm on the 3rd and final game now, and we'll see how it ends, because I've been told there's no more.
Uh-huh.
So.
And who have you been told this by?
The internet.
No, they lie.
No.
I'm very worried about James and this completionist nature of his. Nobody tell him about Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, God. Be here forever. All right. Well, that's what we're binging right now. What are you binging? Leave a comment on this podcast. And hey, how about leaving us a 5-star review? Because we made your life a little bit shinier, I assume. Or else, how did you make it to the end of the episode? Mm. Were you just like white knuckling it the whole time, angry? Or you could be Sarah Winters, who got it to the end of the episode and just got really angry the last 2 minutes. But if you're Sarah Winters, leave us a 5-star review and a comment on our iTunes page and whatever. You know how it works. Come on. We love you all. Good night.
I'm going to go binge Pabst.
Blue Ribbon?
What? Is there any other kind of Pabst?
I'm just making sure I heard you correctly.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.